This is not dead. This is alive. I mean, I love you that are anointed. I wish I had some. But I can talk. I can touch. I can walk. I can preach. I can witness. Hallelujah. And the poor devil can't do a thing about it. He has to back off when I get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that. I really, really believe that. The foundation for our healing compassion is Isaiah 53. You know that. Surely he has, surely the prophet yearns and groans. Oh, for heaven's sake, be sure that you know that he's borne the diseases of everybody. They don't need to be sick. Tell them. I get to yelling when I get all warmed up and get happy. I can't help it. It's a habit. I've been at it too long. Surely. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement of our peace upon him. With his stripes we are healed. For sure. When Jesus returned from the wilderness, where he had been tempted of Satan for 40 days, the Bible says he returned in the power. Hey, listen to me. He returned to show you how. He came back. He whipped the devil out there, and he came back to illustrate to you and me how to minister. Preachers, young people, if the preachers don't catch on to this, you young people catch on to it. Everything Jesus says about his Father in the Gospels, you can say about the Father. Now read that with a new insight. Read the Gospels with new insight and understand he is trying to show you how to talk about the Father. He's trying to show you what to do with the Father. He's trying to show you, he's come to show you how the Father wants you to be. Yes, he came to show us the Father's will. The Father's will hasn't changed. The Father's will was in him. The Father's will is in me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, T.L. Osborne. Do you believe that? I believe that. You better believe that, or don't go out there where there's demons. They'll spook you out of town. I'm trying to get enough time to go down there to Brazil and help those Brazilians because they all believe in devils. God bless the Brazilians. They got some of the greatest churches, but they're so devil conscious, it's a shame. I know those preachers, and I fuss with them, and I talk to them. They show me books. They've written books. They've got the pictures of demons. They've got the pictures on the books. I say, for heaven's sake, don't publish for the devil. Let him pay his own bill. Yeah. Who in the world would put on a big campaign or build a big church and beautiful pulpit and air conditioning and everything and then get up and let the devil use it free? Let him pay his own bill. If he wants an audience, let him go get one, build a building, get a crowd on his own so that he can pay the bill while he brags on himself. Don't let the Holy Ghost fill preachers do it. I don't like that. I don't like that. I won't. I won't. Poor devil. Hallelujah. 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 I didn't even look at my watch when I started, but I know it's bound to be getting time to quit. We know it came from the wilderness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Me too. What spirit is on you? Hey, where'd you come from? Every place in the New Testament, Jesus said, God sent me. every book of John except two, or maybe, I think it's two. Was it two or three? Anyone know? I think it's two. Jesus said, I'm Son of God. Evidently, that was important to him, to tell the people that God sent him. Every time I go overseas, I go out on a platform, opening night. Did you know I walk out there? I don't walk out there boastfully or bragging, but humbly. I walk out there. I love the people. They can feel that. I tell them how far I've come across the ocean to come to them because I'm sent from God to them. God loves them. I tell them God loves you. God has been thinking of you. And all across this planet, he found me, a common preacher, a messenger of his, and he sent me to you. And I've come. Here I am. What I'm going to say to you is from him. That's what Jesus said. He said, the words that I speak to you, it's the Father that gave me the words. Do you tell people that? Hey, who sent you? What do you believe about yourself? If you don't believe God sent you, stay home. If you do believe God sent you, act like it. We know about this, the Spirit of God that's upon us. But the suffering world doesn't know it. That, therefore, is our mission of healing. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. God anointed T.L. Osborne with the Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost. Say, God anointed me with the same Holy Ghost. Let him function. Let him function. You can do it. Believe in it. He said, you'll touch people and heal them. Believe who's in you when you touch people. I walked down off the platform one night in Philippines. Stadium was full, packed. They just jammed everywhere. And I looked down there, and I saw a little woman standing there holding her little boy. And his head was great big, and his eyes were distorted. They looked like, looked awful, awful, waterhead. And so while they were singing, they were having some worship. While they did that, I just slipped, nobody knows, I slipped down and got up among the people and got close to her. Why did I do that? Well, I'm no big king. I didn't want to go down there and make a show of myself, but I just had compassion on the boy. And I thought, well, why not? I've got time. Go down and at least comfort the mother. And I went down there, and I laid my hands on that little boy's head, comforted the little mother, because they can speak English there, so I could talk. And you know what? The next day, when I walked up on the platform, and they were singing again, I looked down there, and I saw that woman again. And I called my interpreter. You have to interpret in Tagalog, but you can talk English with people. But in general. So I called my interpreter. I said, hey, is that the same woman that I went down there to last night that had the waterhead baby? He said, yeah, she's come back tonight to give thanks, public testimony for what God did. Now, who did that? You think I did that? No. No, Jesus will do wonders if you let him. Let him. But you know, we in America, in the charismatic world, are so conscious about being sure everybody knows our gift and our anointing and all this holy stuff. And it seems like we hesitate to give, just let him have the honor. He does it. Call it anointing, call it gift, call it whatever makes you tick good. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. These are all Bible terms. They're beautiful. Use them. Go for it. He does the work. Turn him loose. Believe in Jesus in you. That's what turned Paul on. Paul got the revelation. Why didn't the guys that followed Jesus get that revelation? You ever think about that? Not a one of them. And God had to go get an ex-rabbi. You know, I've thought a lot about that. Did I cut that too short? Are you thinking? I said, why did God call Paul? Paul was a rabbi. Paul hated the Christians. Paul was out to destroy them. Why did God call him? And I thought maybe it was because he knew the scriptures. He was a rabbi, so he could quote the whole Old Testament verbatim. Maybe. That's not for doctrine. I'm just talking. Thank God, Paul received the revelation that Jesus is in us. Hallelujah. God anointed Jesus, and he anointed me. I believe in the anointing. The world needs healing, not only for sick bodies, but for sick lives and sick homes and sick relationships and broken confidence and broken hearts and broken trust. Needs to be healed. It's being healed tonight while I'm talking. Jesus is the only answer to our broken and sick world. No religion can tell people what we can tell people. You're here from all over the world. Many of you are here tonight. You can testify what we tell the people in these other countries. No religion tells them. What do the Buddhists tell them? Nice things, but not what we tell them. What do the Shintoists tell them? What do the Muslims tell them? No. We have the best message in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We went to India, failed, came back, went again. Hallelujah. That time we didn't fail. Now what a pleasure it is to stand before a multitude of people and proclaim the good news, knowing the power of the gospel. The first mass miracle crusade in history. You want to know about it? You want to know about it? It took place in Ponce, Puerto Rico. We went there. I had talked with Brother Bosworth in Michigan. We were 5 weeks together in the Masonic Temple. He said, he pondered this. He said, if you could take 100 sinners, line them up, and you tell them all the same gospel at the same time, and they all heard it and they all believed it, and then you led them in a prayer to accept Jesus, and they all accept him. Well, now listen to this, you preachers that are, you need this. Listen, and they all accepted it at one time. How many of them would be saved? He'd chuckle and say, all of them. He said, even the Baptists would agree with that. True. True. Baptists would agree with that. And they're good people. John Osteen said, God bless the Baptists. You know. Then he said, okay, let's take 100 sick people and line them up and tell them the same gospel. And they all accept it. And they all believe it. And you lead them a prayer. How many of them be healed? Said all of them. Well, I had to prove that. I believed that. That had to be true. So I went to an auditorium in Flint, Michigan. And the first time. And I called for everyone that was deaf to come forward. There were 53. So in my mind, okay, I was facing 53 devils. You know, I call everybody sick, they had a devil. I believe deafness is of the devil. So I lectured all of them. They all believed. We all rejoiced together. I prayed for all of them, commanded the deaf spirits to leave them. Got through. We lined them up, not to pray for them, but to test them. And those days, Daisy had one of those little, beautiful little Elgin ladies' watches about as big as your fingernail. Little bitty thing, almost nothing to them. But we checked every one of them with her little Elgin watch. perfect, except there were three that couldn't hear it. I said, come back, keep check this week, let us know. Before Friday, those three came back. It was 100%. That's God's will. That's God's will. 100 sinners be saved. And so when we went to Puerto Rico, after that occasion with Brother Bosworth, then we went to Puerto Rico, and there we tried to get the mayor to give us the ball field because we had faith for our great campaign, and he was stubborn and wouldn't do it. So we had to go in an auditorium that seated around 1,400 or 1,500 people, I forget exactly how many, and we preached, and it was so beautiful. And so many miracles happened. There was a very wealthy person in Ponce, very wealthy, and their daughter had polio, and she had braces and crutches. And they had those braces and crutches gold-plated, not brass, not shiny brass, gold-plated. They were wealthy people. And she came across there, and she was healed. Hallelujah. And we threw those beautiful crutches. We scarred them up awful, threw them down there. And the next night, the whole town tried to get in that building, almost tore it down. And the mayor came, and the chief of police, and the fire chief all came begging us, please, if we close the meeting tonight, you can go to the ballpark tomorrow. And we got, that's how the first mass, wait, that's not the whole story. We went the next night. The great field was packed to the borders, every direction, and so I got real smart, and I said, I know how to do it. I'm smart. I know how. And so I printed cards and put big numbers on them and gave everybody a card so they would have a place in the prayer line. Look what a strain we go through when God makes it so easy. But we tried to give them cards, and they almost killed each other to get the cards. So that didn't work. But I'm smart. I said, oh, I got another idea. So we had about 20 policemen there help us control the people. So we said, we'll give the cards to the policemen. And the policemen can't handle it. Good. So we gave the cards to the policemen. And the policemen, we found out the next day, they were selling them for $10 a piece. And only wealthy people could get in the... So that's how the first mass miracle service took place. That's how. And I was driven to it, and being driven to it, all this stuff from Brother Bosworth and what I had proven in Flint, Michigan, all that was coming back to me, and that's where it began. And it's been that way ever since, now almost 60 years. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? God makes it so beautiful. I thought you might enjoy that. But I want you people to know that in that meeting, God did such wonderful things. So many beautiful miracles. There were 11 lepers one night, came, sneaked out of the leprosarium, came, and hid under the stadium. Well, one or two of the preachers knew about it. They didn't spread the word, because if the word got out, the police would come and arrest them and take them back. So we didn't want that to happen. So I wondered what to do. And so all of a sudden, I told one of the preachers, go get them and bring them up on the platform. Bring them up. So we brought those 11 lepers. That was a ghastly sight. Bless their heart. And they lined up on the platform. And the talk about fire. That fire that this conference is about was burning in me and Daisy. And we laid our hands on, not on the cloth, on their skin. We pulled the cloth back. We were ready. Hallelujah. This fire will burn up anything. You believe that? I believe it. What we have, the whole world wants, folks. Say, I believe it. We went down the line. Prayed a simple prayer. That the people may know that the gospel is unchanged. May the spirit of leprosy leave this person. In Jesus' name. Short, concise. Next one. pull the clothes back, put her hand down the way. Hallelujah. When it was all over, then we called the police, said, you can take them back. They took them back. It wasn't very long before we got a letter from Puerto Rico. Anybody here from Puerto Rico, check up on that. You can check it out. You can verify it. A letter came. Yeah, check it up. A letter came. One of them had been released. A pastor wrote and said, one of them had been released, cured, released back to society. It wasn't but a month or two till we got another letter. Within 2 years, we received 11 letters. All of those lepers were healed and released back to freedom. What we've got is the best thing in the world. Nobody has what we have. No Muslim can heal a leper. I got in the car, in the little Volkswagen van in Hyderabad, India, was trying to get out the gate, and so many people trying to get through that gate. And there's one guy, he was pounding. He wouldn't quit pounding. I said to the driver, I said, this guy really wants to talk to me. Stop and let's let him talk. And so we stopped and I pulled the door back and he fell in on my legs and hugged my legs and looked up at me so beautiful. He said, Brother Osborne, I'm Pastor so-and-so from Madurai. I'm a pastor of a big church. He said, I was a leper when you came to Madurai a few years ago and I came and was healed. See. What we've got is the best thing in the world. We're the healers of the world. Let God, Jehovah, Rapha, heal through you. Turn him loose. Believe in him. Practice the presence of Jesus. God's priority is healing people. When Jesus came, angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you the most joyful news ever announced. It's for everyone. A Savior has been born. Savior. Savior. Savior from what? Savior from disease. Savior from failure. Savior from poverty. Savior from religion. Savior from inferiority. Savior from self-dignity. Savior from sin. The Savior has been born. I've found him. I've connected. Are you? God's priority is healing people. Our mission is healing people. We heal people when we show them self-worth. We heal people when we lift them out of negativism. We heal people when we inspire them to partner with God. Are you? Say, I'm hearing you. We heal people when we cause people to discover their potential. Self-value comes from knowledge. Inferiority comes from lack of knowledge. When you drag in and are ashamed of before everybody, you don't know what I know. I'm a farmer from behind a white mule plowing under cockle burrs, but I'm a prince with God. And I know it, and the poor devil knows it. I'm somebody arrived. Hallelujah. And I walked in here tonight. Destiny was at work. This bunch of people was destined to hear this old preacher tell you, you got the best thing in the world. Live it up, baby. Hallelujah. You believe it? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Our hurting world needs spiritual healers for lost and confused lives. They need it. They need you. Get yourself straightened out if you're not straightened out yet. Where you can think straight and think positive. Not crawfish, but stand up and be all that you are. You'll have to get used to yourself. You know, you've been used to being intimidated all the time and ashamed to talk up and speak up. When you speak, your voice trembles and all that. Get over that. Wake up. You're a kingdom person. The world is waiting for you. Hey, why'd God make every face different? Every nose a different shape? I don't know. But there's something about me that some folks like. And something about my face that some folks don't like. And same with you. Your face is different. God gave you a thumbprint, your face. And some folks like the way you sound and like the way you talk, and some folks don't. Well, you can't help it if they don't, but find the ones that do. And you can increase that number by saying good things and loving people and healing people and blessing people and lifting people. Hallelujah. You can do it. You make your world your surrounding. It reflects you. The world around you is mean. You know, we don't like to say it, but maybe they learned it somewhere. You know, don't do that. Don't do that. The world needs miracle healers. All kinds of them. The world waits for our song. The world waits for our smile. They wait for our words. Our words are healing words. We talk like Christ, and the world is hurting. And we are the masters. Do you believe it? Jesus, his call is still, follow me. Follow me. Come to me. Imitate me. Realize my ideas, understand my dream, discover my priority to heal people, and then you will really live like I planned for you to live. Hallelujah. He said to his followers, let's cross over to the other side. I preached on it once in one of Brother Hagin's conventions. Let's cross over. I think he's still saying to let's cross over to the other side. Don't you? And we're crossing over to the other side. We're opening China. Listen, what's coming out of this church is going to open China. China is going to open. China is going to open. Do you hear me? It's got to happen because we are the people of God and we're coming. Hallelujah. 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 So let's go. Let's go to the other side. Young people. Learn another language. I told the board meeting today, I've written two letters this week to Japan, to two preachers that speak English. And I've told them, I said, make a main part of your outreach in Japan that you teach English. Teach English. They've got to learn English in order to go anywhere and get an interpreter. Who can interpret Japanese? Nobody knows Japanese. No, but they've got to learn English. The Scandinavians have done that for generations. God bless the Scandinavians. They always have to learn English before they can get an interpreter to the mission field where they travel to. You know, so the Japanese have got to catch on to that. Their car companies, their entrepreneurial companies, their secular companies, they pick out certain people from among them, certain nice potential people, and they send them off and train them until they're fluent in English. Then they send them overseas to run their factories. The Church of Japan has got to do that. We've got to get English classes going all over Japan, and then them Japanese are going to come after us. Hallelujah. And they're the loving people of the world. You believe that? You believe that? We can't let them die within the confounds of one country. You know what I told the Japanese? Jesus is bigger than Japan alone. You can't afford to just stay in Japan. We're after them, Pastor. We're going to get them. Glory to God. So go as early settlers. Learn a language. I can speak French. I can speak English and Spanish. An old guy like me, and I keep learning. I keep learning. You never get too old to learn. Keep going. Go to a country. Pack your bags. Hallelujah. Practice your business and preach Jesus. My goodness, how long have they been lining up? The Russians have been lining up to buy McDonald's hamburgers. Yeah. And they line up to buy Bibles and Testaments if we'll put them there. Fire conference. Hallelujah. Fire to do this thing. That's what we're all about. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, I turned the last page and I saw something. I'm glad I saw it. I wrote it there so I wouldn't forget it. Little Simeon in Africa, in Kenya, was born without eyes. Born without eyes. Couldn't see blind. His little mama, little village woman, heard about the preaching and brought little Simeon and held him in her arms, and Simeon was healed. You know, we can't understand that, but it's a miracle. But here's the thing. It's a tragedy to be born blind. But what's a greater tragedy is to be born with good eyesight and never see. That's the big tragedy. We got to look. We got to see. Say, my eyes are made to see. My ears are made to hear. I am made to do something. I started to say go. I didn't want to scare you. To do something. We can do something. Nobody's too old. Nobody's too young. In our early ministry, we prayed for a little waterhead. Baby, it was 36 inches around, 36 inches. And about 4 weeks, that baby's head was normal. It was a miracle. God did it. See, God never fails. That's a tragedy to be born demented like that. But what's a worse tragedy is to be born normal and not understand the opportunities that are ours to reach people. Let's not be that. You know that in years past, and maybe way back in the villages of Nigeria, of Africa, they still do it. There's witch doctors. They practice some terrible things. They're illegal. They shouldn't be anymore. But way back, they still do it. A lot of witchcraft. But sometimes in past, there's an idea that every family is supposed to have one cripple to be a beggar. Now, I may not be getting this just right. Excuse me, Nigerians. And that don't mean everybody. I'm saying way back in the village. But when I first went there, it was rampant. And so they'll break the bones and or put out the eyes. That's a tragedy. But what is worse is to be born in the family of God with good legs and not use them, and good eyes and not see, and good arms and not embrace somebody. We are the people of God. You believe it? I think it would be appropriate to ask you, I hesitate to do this because all of you will want to get in on it. You wouldn't be at this fire conference if you didn't all want what I'm going to talk about. But we're healers. Don't do it yet. I'm just talking. I'm trying to see how to work. Would you like to be a healer? Do you want to heal people? Do you believe you can heal people? Do you believe Christ in you can heal people? I think it would be appropriate at the finale of this wonderful conference, that I think it would amount to something, it would say something to God, if you left your seat and come up here and stood saying, Lord, you died for me publicly. I want to come and take my stand publicly. I want to heal people. I want to let you loose in me. Let's ask for the young people first. Let's let those under 25 Let them be the first ones. Wouldn't that be a nice idea? Those that want to come up here and you want to be a healer. What I've said tonight has had some effect on you. This is touching to me. This is touching to me. This is touching to me. This is what is going to open China. This is opening China. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, you went to the cross for me. You bore all of my sins. You took all of my diseases. You endured my judgment. You set me free from the enemy. You paid my bill. Thank you, Lord. You came back from the dead to show me that I can come back from the dead. You live, so I live. The life of Christ in me gives me divine life. Thank you, Father. You are in me. You are working through me. Teach me your way. Guide me your way. Hallelujah. I've come forward tonight. And I take my stand at the front in this church. And I want the angels of heaven to know. And I want every devil to know. Here I stand. A healer of my generation. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost. Anointed of God. It is written in the book. Behold, I come to do your will. Thank you, Lord. You and me are connected. Nothing can stop us. Hallelujah. The world is ours. In the name of Jesus Christ. I give you my life, Lord. All that I have is yours. I open my heart. Come and live in me. Establish your lifestyle in me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.